The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Unlike hearing, the one challenge you have is that a lot of believers hate responsibility. Okay, we hate responsibility. Just tell us who you are in Christ, that you are righteous, you are holy. When we say you who you are in Christ, that you are a giver, you say, no, I'm only righteous. Who I am in Christ, that Christ, God gave to me. I don't give to anybody. You know, do you know the truth? Any day you begin to hear about who God is, you know he's talking about who you are too, you know, right? So God is a giver, I'm a giver, praise God. Now, we've done all of that in this past week. Now, last Sunday, or last Thursday rather, I was talking about the right attitude to giving. Remember that? Did you remember that? Okay, talking about you must have the right motivation, and your motivation must be what? Love. The reason we give is because God has shown us how to do that, in that He loved us. For God so loved the world that He gave. And so our motivation, the reason God gave, was because He loved the world. Okay? God did not give to show off. God gave because He loved the world. And so in 2 Corinthians 8 verse 7, Paul now uses, admonishes us also, and shows us our giving should be about love. He said, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love towards. He says, see that you abound in this grace also. Of course, the grace he's talking about there is giving. And then in verse 8, Paul will say, I speak not by commandment. So he said, what I'm talking about giving, I'm not trying to command you about it. But by the occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove what? The sincerity of your love. So when a believer is practicing giving, he is simply walking in love. Are you getting me? When a believer is practicing giving, he is simply walking in love. He is simply walking in love. And so, the major motivation, I'm going to say a lot of things today, but don't ever forget this statement, that the major motivation or the major reason we give is love. Love is the thing. You give to church because you love God and you love His work. You give to your pastor because you love him. You give to the saints because you love them. You give to people because every other motivation you have towards giving that is not love is what I call you're giving for the wrong motive. Whether you're giving because you want God to do whatever is the wrong motive, or you're giving to show off. The Bible teaches, and I said that the first day, that when you're about to give, don't let your right hand or your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That shows that even the closest person to you does not need any announcement about your giving. And so if the reason you are giving is to show off, okay, then you are not yet ready. You're not yet ready. Praise God. You're not yet ready to give. You're just, but the Bible says you've received the reward on earth. And what is the reward you've received? The applause. When they say, man. And I was joking with you that day, people just come, flaunt whatever they do for people on Facebook, and they don't know right there on Facebook that they're receiving the reward. You're a good man. We need more men like you in this country. God bless you. God open doors for you. How I wish other men are like you. You know what I mean? You're receiving your reward on earth. You're a politician. I didn't get the point. But as a matter of fact, anybody that says I'm a philanthropist, I'm afraid of the person. What I understand when you say I'm a philanthropist, I give to people. I understand, I show off. And I explained to you that day that there are occasions where when you give, you have to let people know you gave. Remember I said that? When maybe I'll give an example with an NGO. Remember this? With an NGO, if there's an NGO, and then maybe in church here now, we say maybe PG Nationwide, we say we are contributing. Everybody must pay 10,000. We want to do something, want to give money to some people. If we contribute that, we should be able to take pictures of the day we gave them the money. You get the point? That for accountability purposes. But if the reason I'm just showing off is for people to know that, man, we are doing it. We didn't come here to play. You know, let me say this to you about giving and every other thing. Life must not be lived on social media. Do you get what I said? Life must not be lived, because the coming of social media has spread a lot of things. Life must not be lived on social media. I get the point? You should learn to be that is, you know, in learning the wisdom of God, there's something we call discretion. Amen? Must be discreet. Everything that is there for the public. Praise God. It's everything that's there for the public. You know, I see people that want to follow our church, and then they're following our pictures. The pictures are there for the public. What makes the church is not the pictures. You get the point? So you're following us. I say, I follow you on Facebook. I say, you don't. You're not following pictures. Life is not for... We can't show everything we do to the world. Praise God. And so, you must learn to be discreet. And that's what the Bible teaches when, even when it comes to giving. So, you don't give to show off. We give because we love. Another reason I gave for giving is we give... Another attitude we have, most afterwards giving rather, is thankfulness. Remember I said that? You must give as an act of thanksgiving unto God. As an act of thanksgiving. Now, I've explained to you that thanksgiving is majorly what you do with your mouth. Remember? You must say thanksgiving. You must say it. But then, in giving to people and all that, one of the things that should be in your mind is that God has given me his son, and there is nothing I'm going to give that is bigger than what he has given me. Also, I'm grateful to him even as I'm giving. I get the point. It should be in your mind. And I mentioned another attitude, consistency and all that. And we ended last week talking about who should I give to. You were blessed that week. Today, I want to focus on a very important part of this teaching, the receive, because we titled this, The Truth About Giving and Receiving. The question I'm answering today is, does our giving have any effect? Now, listen, there are extremes I'm going to deal with today. Is there anything that happens when I give? What is the effect, the result of my giving? The result of my giving. What an extreme says is that once you give to God, God is just going to say, wow, I just love how what this girl gave now. And because she gave it, I'm going to bless her. And then if she didn't bring anything, I'm not going to bless her. That's an extreme, and that's a lie. That is not in the character of, you know, at PGC, I was sharing with them. People say, you pay your tithe, and then God will bless you. You don't pay your tithe, then God will shut down the windows of heaven from you. That's in Malachi 3. Amazingly, what he's talking about there is that God will shut down rain. Praise God. And yet, in that same, in Matthew 5 verse 45, the Bible now tells us that that same God that will shut down the windows of heaven from falling on his children because they did not pay their tithe, will now give his rain and his son to the wicked. Look at that. He gives rain on the just and the unjust. So he gives rain to the unjust, but we shut down rain from the just because the just did not pay his tithe. That doesn't add up, does it? So it tells you God is not dependent on your giving to bless you. God blesses you. You know one of the things he was saying about the character of God? Okay? And one of the things that will dawn on you is that you can't make God do anything. How do I put that? Okay, let me say it. God does not react. God has a consistent nature. If some people think you do this, God will do this. You see, if man can affect God, it means we can change God. I said that speech there, if you remember. It means we can make God become a bitter person. For instance, people hold on to things like, if you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. Do you know if you hold on to that, you are trying to say that we can turn God to a bitter human being. We can all team up and refuse to forgive our neighbors, and then God will suddenly become bitter. So we can make God sin. Unforgiveness is sin, right? So if that is true, it means we can actually make God to sin. We can just say, well, since if I don't forgive, you don't forgive. So we are even. So we all team up and say, well, I'm not going to forgive anybody. And God will say, bet me, I will not forgive you. No, that's not God. God doesn't react. That's something not about giving. You think you can make God stingy? You say, well, since you didn't give to your neighbor, I'm going to keep my stuff. The day you learn to give to your neighbor, I'll give to you. That's not God. That's not what receiving is in giving. Are you following me? That's not it. Now, But the other extreme, because it's an extreme, people believe that the reason you give is because you want God to give back to you. When you need money, so if you need 100,000, you now give 10,000, and God will multiply it times 10 and give you. No. As a matter of fact, there are people that don't give at all, but they have money. I told them at PGTI, some of the wealthiest people you know are very stingy. Do you remember your uncle? One of the richest people around your life are very stingy. You just come and say, hi, you can leave by last week. Oh. I wish you called me last. That last week, I just made an investment. It's a lie. He don't provoke, is it? So if actually it's about giving and getting, some people should not be rich at all. I didn't get the point. And so that's not how God prospers us. Now, but there's another extreme to this that now says that when you give at all, when you give, that nothing happens. There is no effect of your giving. That one is a lie. It's a bigger lie. Because it will not be long if you start thinking like that. You will give and give and give, and you become bitter at your giving. I'll be giving, giving, nothing is happening. So there is an effect of our giving. But let me show you something. Before I get to that, is there an effect of our giving? Well, the thing is, yes. You know, Jesus said, go to that scripture where the Bible said, I think Matthew 6, where Jesus said, if you give, you say your right hand should not know what your left hand is doing. Matthew 6, verse 3. He said, when thou givest, doest harm. He said, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Now, look at the next verse. Verse 4. That thy arms may be in secret, and thy father which seeth in secret, himself will do what? So, reward you openly. So, it already shows that your giving will produce a reward. Are you getting what I'm talking about? The question is now to find out what the reward is and how the reward comes. And so the idea that when you give, nothing is going to happen is not true. So I think the thing is to find out what is the reward, how does it come. He said, when you give, say your father will reward you in the open. And so there is a reward, there is an effect of our giving, but let me say it again if I continue. This reward, whatever we're going to find out that it is, is not and must not be the motivation for our giving. Any day you begin to give because of what you are going to get back, it's no more love, it's selfishness. You know what I said? It should never be the motivation for our giving. Even if I show you now that when you give, God is going to build a house for you. You should never give because God will build a house for you. If that's what you have in mind when you give, you are just being a selfish person. And what it now means is, you are no longer giving because of whoever is receiving it. You are giving because of yourself. And see, no problem with that. The problem with it is, if that thing you expect does not come, you will stop giving. You get the point? The motivation for our giving is love. We love God. We saw it in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 8. Put up that verse with, let's see, Amplified and see New Living Translation. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 8. Hallelujah. Look up the screen. He said, I give this. What is the this? Go back to verse 7. He said, I give this not as an order. He said, what is he saying in verse 7? He said, now as you are bound and I sell and are at the front in everything, in faith, in, you know, we've read this more than 10 times in this series. Uh-huh. In faith, in knowledge, in all sin, in your love for us. See to it that you come to the front now and abound and excel in this gracious work of almsgiving also. So it's about giving. Now the next verse, he now said, I give this not as an order to dictate to you, but to prove by pointing out the zeal of others, the sincerity of your own love also. Okay, put up a New Living Translation. And NLT. He says, since you accept, go verse 8, quickly, because of our time. He says, I am not commanding you to do this, but I am testing how genuine your love is by comparing it with the eagerness of other churches. And so, when you are giving, the motivation should be your love. And so love is the motivation for giving. And so I will still charge you this evening to check your motive and be sure it's right. Are you know what I'm saying? Please do. Make sure you're not giving to show off. Make sure you're not giving under pressure. All this we see it. Refer to the previous tapes and get these things very clear. But then, today we're talking about the effect of our giving. Now, the first thing I'm going to talk about is in 1 Timothy 6 verse 17. The Paul says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in what? Uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us what? Richly all things. Now, verse 18, that they do good. Okay? That they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. What is he talking about here? Huh? Giving, right? Now, verse 19. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against what? The time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. Now, if you're not very diligent about Bible study, you would think that what the Bible is saying is that when you give, you're going to make heaven. No, that's not it. But what it begins to show you is that your giving would have an effect in the afterlife. What I mean is, when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, okay, that your giving is going to be rewarded. You get what I said now? Just like every other, the way I put it in my note, I said, just like every other thing we do for the kingdom. You know, Hebrews 6 verse 10 tells us that we do be not weary in good work. For God is not unrighteous. He will not forget your labor of love. Look at that. He said, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And so what you do for the saints, okay, of which giving is one of them, God will not forget. He will reward you. Do you get the point? Now, that reward, let me explain what that reward is. I do this all the time because I know a lot of people are here. That reward is not when you now get there and God is going to bring out a book and start watching and say, you're not even giving well. Send him to hell. That reward is not about sending people to hell. Paul will explain that in 1 Corinthians 3 from verse 12. Look at that. I'm going to explain this. We call it the judgment seat of Christ. That judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment that takes anybody to hell or to heaven. Look at it. He said, if any man build upon his foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Verse 13. He now says, every man's work shall be made manifest. Now, so on that day, every man's what? Work. Right? So what we did, for the gospel, what we did in the kingdom, will be made manifest. Now, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, that is not, this is figurative, you know, right? It doesn't mean that day. Of course, work is not tangible. So you should know he's not talking about physical fire. What he's just saying is that when we get that day, everybody's work is going to be assessed. Both how much you did and how well you did it. That's why if you're doing the work of ministry, don't just seek to do much. Also seek to do it well. So that you will not get there that day and your work is burnt up. What it means is your work will not hold water. But look at what I'm trying to show you. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive what? So there is a reward. Are you here? Now, let's see. Verse 15 now says, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer what? Loss. Now, if you're not careful, you will think that he's saying he will go to hell. But Paul was quick to add, but he himself shall be saved, yet as so by fire. So he's saying that person will be saved. He will make heaven. Why? Because the qualification for making heaven and all that is what? Salvation, to believe in Jesus. Praise God. But then, so the work we do for the kingdom does not guarantee us entrance into heaven. But we will be rewarded in heaven. So I tell people, heaven is not a reward for saints. Heaven is a place of reward. Do you get the point? Heaven is the reward, is a place. Heaven is our home, but when we get there, so we'll be rewarded. So just like what we do for the kingdom, Paul now says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 19, that when they are willing to communicate and are doing well, that they are laying up for themselves treasures for the world to come. And so just like everything we do for the kingdom will be assessed and judged and all that, Your giving will have an effect in that you will be rewarded. That's why you must do it big and do it well. I don't get a point. That's why I've been talking about motive, why you do it and all that. Because I tell you the truth, Jesus already said, if you are giving because you want to attract praise, of course, your work will be burnt up. I don't get a point. But if you are giving because you want to promote the kingdom of God and all that, your work will be accepted. If you're giving just because you are selfish, you know, the world is funny. Some people are selfish. You just look for the very rich people in this church. You know, that's why I find that in the world, when you are rich, you get more. Have you observed that? Because people are just selfish. They know that if they give you, you give back to them somehow. So they will locate you and give to you. And if that's how you are giving because you are thinking of who will give you something back. I tell you what, that is not giving out of a sincere motive. So there will be a reward after now. So the first effect we'll see is that there will be a reward after now, just like every other thing we do for the kingdom. So what's the first reward for my giving? I'll be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Praise God. For how I sponsored, for how I gave towards the work of the gospel and all that. And the second thing that you're giving does, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 12. The second effect of your giving, 2 Corinthians 9 verse 12. Now, I want you to read it, put up NLT, so that this will be very clear. I like how NLT came out straight. Now, look at what it says. So, two good things will result from this ministry of giving. So, we're about to see the results of giving. Now, it says, the needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met. So, what is the first thing he mentions here? Needs being met. People wonder, how is this a reward? Well, the beautiful thing about giving is the fact that when I give, I'm meeting someone's need. And if that does not excite you, you have to grow. I'm meeting the need of the church. I'm meeting the need of someone. You know, so he said the good thing is that their needs will be met. He now said they will joyfully express their thanks to God. So we see two things in one. Their needs will be met and they will thank God. So Paul is saying it's a good thing and something you should be excited about, that your giving will make people thank God. I don't get the point. Are you following me at all? Your giving will make people say, oh, glory, thank you, Jesus. Imagine you gave, you know, notice, you give someone 10,000 naira, the person now thanks you and kneels down and begins to thank God. Who did it? You. Who is he thanking? God. So it's a beautiful thing to know that I can do something on earth that will bring glory to God. Come on, are you following me at all? It's a beautiful thing to know that I can give something. You know, sometimes when I'm just sitting in my room, I'm thinking of a program that we are planning, maybe it's always upcoming and all that, and a lot of needs around. And then suddenly I get some kind of alert, not on my personal whatever, but then on the church account. And then I see it and I'm excited because, wow, this is just what I'm saying. Father, thank you. Thank you for what? For what you did. It's a great blessing to know that we can actually do something and it will bring thanksgiving to God. Look at verse 13, drives it on further. This is what I just said now. Verse 13. He said, as a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. Hallelujah. And so you can give someone something and say, oh, wow, thank you, Jesus. He's thanking you. Oh, thank you, brother. Thank you very much. Now, he goes back and he says, Father, thank you. Thank you for providing. God providing is actually that man gave. It's a beautiful thing that you can do something. So it's a big, big reward for me that I can do something on earth that will make people thank God. Hallelujah. If you're going to practice giving, you find out you can end people's fasting. Truth. So my fasting and praying for something that you can afford easily. Some of you don't realize that your level today is somebody's prayer point. Hope you know. You say, ah, my life is bad. Your level now is somebody's prayer point. Some of you are just, you don't know that someone somewhere is saying, if I can just get to your level, I'm done. Do you know? I'll give an example. Some of you have Android phones. Some people's desire in life is to one day own an Android phone. If I just get my phone, cry. It's their desire. And you say, ordinary Android phone. You don't know how much it is. Praise God. Some of you could afford an education. Some people's desire in life is, I wish one day I'll just enter university like this. Ah, man.
If God just do this for me, that's all I need. Now that's people's prayer point. But that's what you have. The amazing thing is that some people's prayer points are the things you can easily afford. You get the point? What will make the church say, oh, thank God, are things you can afford. So always know that one beautiful thing that your giving produces, that it produces thanksgiving to God. People are thankful to God because you gave. The church is thankful because you gave. Someone is doing something, just help because you gave. Your pastor has a need, he will never tell you, but you give and then the need is met because you gave. Hallelujah. And the beautiful thing is, this money you now gave, we now go straight. Notice the first thing he said, the needs of those people will be met. So it will now go straight to meeting another important need. You know, sometimes I love how it happens. How I can give money in church, and then the money will be used to put up a program that will get a sinner saved. It's a beautiful thing. He said two good things will happen. There are needs to be met. A need to be met. Sometimes the need being met is salvation for someone. I didn't get the point. We are about to plan so away now. Plan is away now. And you give. That money you are giving will be used to put up the meeting. People will come and get blessed. It's a beautiful thing. And then they are thanking God. Father, thank you for Zoe. Zoe blessed my life. Because you made it possible by giving. So they are thankful to God for your money. I know what I'm talking about. It's something that is beautiful. It's a very beautiful for a mature person. It's a beautiful reward. This should be your highest fulfillment. That a man like Paul, you know, will wake up one day in Philippians 12 verse 18 and tell them, I have all I need now because you sent me something. Hallelujah. You meet people's need. He said, at the moment, I have all I need and more. Wow. Why? I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. He said there is sweet smelling sacrifice. You know, I love how Paul writes. You know, whenever I read about Paul, about giving from Paul, it changes my mindset about it a lot. What does he call their giving? A sacrifice acceptable to God. Who did they give to? Paul. What does Paul call it? Sacrifice to God. To God. So when you're giving to your pastor, you are giving to God. We're giving to the church, we're giving to God. And the beautiful thing is that it meets needs. So the second effect of your giving is that needs are met, and as a result, thanksgiving unto God. Go back to that story, that's 9, verse 13. And before I continue, there's something else he said about giving in that verse 13. Look at it. Verse 13. He said, as a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. Now, he said, for your generosity to them and to all believers will what? Will prove that your obedience to the good news of Christ. So giving is a proof that I'm obedient to the good news. Okay, so not giving will be what? A proof that you are disobedient to the gospel. Praise God. So it will give glory to God. It will give glory to God. Now another effect of your giving, I've explained this further, is verse 14. So let's start from verse 12 again. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. So we could call this one, their needs being met, which will result in their joyfully thanking God. Verse 13 keeps talking about it. He said, as a result of this, they will give glory to God. Now, verse 14, that shows us the second thing, right? It has, and they will pray for you with what? Deep affection. Now that's another thing that giving does for you. Giving brings prayer your way. They say, oh, so God will not make people pray for me until I give. No, it's not God that makes people pray for people. It is people that pray. And giving makes people pray. And like I always say when I get to this point, this is where physical blessings are communicated in giving. Because when you give, people will pray for you for physical things. And in case you don't know, prayer works. And it works in an emergency. And if in case you don't know, nothing is going to happen until somebody prays or until you pray. So you give money to someone or to the church, and then he begins to pray. He says, so are they not going to pray for me until I give them money? Well, they will. They can. But then when you give, they will pray. And notice what Paul said. Paul said they will pray for you with what? Deep affection. Why deep affection? Money has a way of going into the heart. You know, and I might say that is God bless you and that is God bless you. No, when you just pass in, pastor say, how are you doing? Say, fine. God bless you. Just pass. But there is this, God bless you, the effectual, fervent, heartfelt prayer of the righteous man. As a heartfelt, God bless you. Say, God bless you. God bless you. And such things produce results. The Bible tells us in Matthew 18:18. So whatsoever you permit on earth is permitted in heaven. Whatsoever you hinder on earth. And so it tells us that by prayer, we allow things and we hinder it. And so you get men. So Paul says, they will pray for you with deep affection. Deep affection. Let's see the translations of that verse. Verse 1 now, verse 14. That's 2 Corinthians 9, verse 14. Let's see other translations. King James said, let's see King James first. Okay. He says, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Okay, but let's see, amplified. And they yearn for you while they pray for you. Oh, I like that. Because of the surpassing measure of God's grace, his favor, mercy, and all that shown in you. How is this shown forth in them? By their giving. So they will yearn for you and pray for you. Let's see the translations. Meanwhile, moved by the extravagance of God in your lives, they will respond by praying for you in passionate intercession for whatever you need. You get the point? That's one thing giving does. So people say, you give, I gave 10,000 and in 2 days I was blessed. It can happen and it happens. That's not because God was in heaven saying, as the money landed in heaven, God said, manager, Michael, you didn't feel this guy. The guy, they give that. They give. They just, no, that's not how God behaves. It's because somebody picks up, you shake people's heart in giving, you know. You know, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, I've explained this a couple of times. Let's work with NLT too. Because of our time. He said, as you know, you Philippians, you are the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news. And then traveled on from Macedonia. He said, no other church did this. Okay? Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help. But I was told this church was, they were, remember, one thing I said about giving last week, that it must be consistent at giving. This was a church that was consistent with it. So even after he had left them and went to Thessalonica, they were still sending help. Not once. Okay. Now, verse 17. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive what? Receive what? A reward. So that is a reward for giving. It still proves it again. Did you see that? A reward for your kindness. Now, verse 18. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I'm generously supplied with the gifts you sent me. So this is, they were not sending small stuff. They will send so much that Paul will say, hey, at this moment, I have everything I need. Praise God. He said, there is sweet blessing sacrifice that is acceptable and pleasing to God. Now, verse 19. And this same God who takes care of me. Stop. He said, God, how does God take care of him? Those guys sent money to him. He now says it's God that did it. Now, on the premise of that giving, he now said, we'll supply all your needs from his glorious riches. Hallelujah. Which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. See, he was, so why did he pray? This prayer came from the Father they gave. That's why I tell you in this church. Your hand is willing. Your heart is willing. Your hands will never lack. I'll tell you everything to me. And I have prayed and I keep praying. Any single person that drops a dime to the church, I pray for you. I do. I pray for you because I know God will prosper you. God will. You see where they learn from? It's from Paul. God, he said, this same God. Hallelujah. For every dime you give to the church, prayers have been made for you. And those prayers, I'm saying so that you'll be expecting. That's why I expect that when you give, expect that something more will happen in your life. Now, not because you gave, but because you know prayers will be made. Do you know what I said? When you give, expect that it's going to get better from here now. Praise God. Praise God. You know, and that's where physical thing comes into giving. This is not about God giving you because you gave anything. This is about people praying for you. You know, let me take it up from here. Another way money comes, because I'm talking about, I'm showing you that there can be physical things when you give. I'm sure you can give 100,000 and get back 1,000,000. Are you getting me? That will not be by the principle of trade and barter. Neither will it be by Ponzi scheme. That will be because when you pray for men, they will pray that this same God who you have honored by giving to them will generously supply all you need. Hallelujah. This is very clear. Let's do the translation of this verse before I continue. Other translations of verse 19. He says, and my God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need. Hallelujah. He will fill you to the full. Hallelujah. He will. What will, is it where Paul is praying his passion? And so, he expected this church to be expecting something to happen. And he didn't just pray. He showed them why he's praying for them. It's because you sent me money. So I'm praying for you. And this is not about being, this is good. It's not about being hypocritical. He said, money does not move me. Lie. Lie. You hear me? Lie. And maybe this should even help you. As a saint, if someone gives you something, a saint blesses you, go back and pray for the person. I don't get the point. Go back and pray for the person. Do it. Oh, you've given to me. You will receive much more. You will receive a hundredfold. Your gift is blessed. Hallelujah. Your gift is blessed. You lack no good thing. God supplies all your needs. You pray for the person. And I do that too when you give. So I tell you what, when you give in this church, expect much more is coming to you. You get the point? Much more is coming. You say, why? Because we will pray and God will bring much more. He will bring. You say, God will generally supply all you need. You know, another way money comes in when you give, for instance, or physical things come, is because I'm talking to you now. When you give money, don't just drop your money. And I want to be very careful so you don't miss what I'm saying. So that you don't misinterpret what I'm saying. Don't just drop your money and go. When you give, exercise your faith in the word of God. Listen, let me explain what I mean. When you give, you can give 10,000 naira. You know the truth of God's word. Okay? You know that God provides for you. So you can say, Father, thank you for the opportunity to give. Thank you for the opportunity to give to the advancement of the gospel. And so I'm going to give this, and I believe that you provide for me. Now, you are not saying that because God is going to provide for you because you gave. I don't get the point. What I'm trying to show is that we have authority in the area of finances. If you don't engage it, you will keep releasing money. You might not be getting anything back. Because God does not respond to you because you give. The world responds when you talk. Think of what I said. So whenever you give, engage your faith. For every money I give, I get more. Now that's not because God is giving back. Because when I give, I say, Father, I thank you. Because I know I can never be stranded. I know provision is. So I give and I take sides with the word of God. Come on, am I talking to you this evening? Let me show you something. In 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. He said, remember this, a farmer who plants, you know, this is where people get the idea of sowing and all that, calling money seed and all that. And I'm not against that. I don't use it. Okay? But I'm not against it. You can call money if you want to call it. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get generous crop. Verse 7. You must each decide in your heart, rather, how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives. So what is he talking about in this verse? Giving. What kind of giving? So he was addressing the attitude towards the giving. You get the point? That's what he mentions in verse 6 as seed, sowing. You get the point? That's what he calls sowing generously. Do you understand it? What they call generously is the right attitude that they were to show in verse 7. In verse 8, look at verse 6. Look at verse 6. It said, if you plant few, you will get few. If you plant generously, you get generously. And in verse 7, he now said, showed you how to plant generously. How? By doing it cheerfully and willingly. Now verse 8. And God, oh glory to God, God will generously provide all you need. Then you will have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Verse 7, he said, you should give willingly and generously. Verse 8, he said, God will. He will provide all you need. And so when I give not because I want God to provide for me, but then I give knowing that he will. I don't get a point. Knowing that he will. Verse 9. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generosity to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Verse 10. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity. I like this. God will first of all provide for you and now increase, produce a great harvest of. What do you mean by harvest of generosity? What is generosity again? Giving, right? So he will provide the money and give you the heart to give it. Did you get the point? He will provide the money and produce a. So one of the harvest of wealth is generosity. He will do it. Now verse 11. Yes, you will be enriched in every way, so that you can always be generous. You will. I'm showing you God's word and God's promises. There are many in the Old Testament. I'm showing you in the New Testament. He said you will. And so when I give, I know what God has said. God said I will be enriched in every way. God said I will have more to give. God said I will be enriched. God said I will have much more to give. And so when I'm giving, I'm saying, Father, thank you. Because I know more is coming. I will not lack anything. If you give, let me tell you, God does not respond to money. He responds to your words. How many of you know this? The world does not respond to money. It's your words. So if you put your money in there and you don't get, that's one thing I learned from Brother Hagin. He taught tithing, but in a very beautiful way. I can tell you where you put in the tithe there. You say, Father, I'm giving this money for the advancement of the work of God. Okay? Thank you, Father, for the privilege to be able to give and to support your work. Right now, I decree and I believe that I'll be blessed because God's word says so. And so angels go forth and bring in my finance. The money that will come in, I'm trying to tell you how that you can be giving and getting more. Do you get the point? That's not by giving and saying, Father, as I've given, you have seen, I've dropped the money. You better start working. If that's your motive, if that's how you think, you get frustrated because you might give and nothing happen. But when you give, whether you give or you don't give, you should also declare faith for finance, right? When you now give, say, Father, thank you. You know, I tell people, giving is one way that you believe God. You can't be claiming I believe God for finances that I don't give. One way to show that you really believe that God can never keep you stranded is that you're giving. Hallelujah. What do you think makes some of us give the last thing in our account? Shut it down. You know, one, we love the work of God. Then after loving the work of God, I know that I can never be stranded. And it's not by saying it. I know. That's why I realized that I know he won't keep me stranded here. He won't. And so when you give, I'm challenging you to give and engage your faith. So let there be faith and expectancy when you are giving. What are you getting your faith on? I tell you one, I know pastor is going to pray for me. That alone will tell me that I'm going to receive something back. You get the point? Two, I am going to use my own words and speak. I say, Father, thank you, Father, for this privilege. And so I walk in abundance. I have much more than I need. Oh, I've given 100,000. I know next month I'm going to give 200,000 because he will provide much more for me. I will never lack. I can never go low. Use your tongue. You have authority in the area of finances. Use it. Are you getting me? Use it. I can never go low. I can never go low. I can never be stranded in life. I have much more than I need. God provides for me. The more I give, the more I have. Because I serve a providing Father. Glory to God. He gives to me. God is my source. So no matter how much I release, much more will come back. So I don't give and shut up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Try what I'm saying. Practice it. As you begin to give, begin to declare. I say, Father, thank you for the privilege to give. You know, giving is a privilege. The Father who can give to the work of the Father is a privilege. That's why I'm totally against people that give to God and expect that God, on account of that money, will pay them back. So I give 10,000, make sure you pay me back. No. The man you're talking about gave you everything. You get the point? Gave you his son. So you cannot say, on account of this man I gave, Father, oh yeah. Start working though. And so when things go wrong, another saint is like, but I paid my tithe. But I gave. But I sowed my seed. But I paid for. That's a canal of thinking. What do you think God is? Praise God. You know, growing up, I've never understood tithes. Even before I got light, I've been confused. Someone gives you, I'm not against tithes, I'm just telling you a story. I've told you last week, I'm not against that, right? I'm not against the concept of giving 10%. I'm against the concept of saying that you must give that 10%. If not, God is going to punish you. I'm against it. But when you decide to give your 10%, it's your business. But I believe as you begin to grow as a believer, you should go beyond 10%. You get the point? But then the whole thing has always been confusing. No, growing up, I was told that you give God 10%, He's going to bless you and all that. And so I saw people pray. Say, Father, I've given my tithe. Please bless me. And when they know God doesn't bless them, they start complaining. And it has been amazing to me how a man can give you 10 oranges and you return one to him. And tell him, on account of this one I returned, bring more. He gave you the 10. He doesn't need one to bless you. If he needed one, he wouldn't give you the 10 at all. I didn't get the point. So you can't come and say, Father, on account of this man I gave, you're going to bless me. But you can give your money and know that Satan, you know, Satan wants to attack your finance. Some of you have not realized this. You say, why? Because the more money you have means more increase for the kingdom. I said, I'm teaching you something today as we round up this series, that you should not give and shut up. When you give, agree with the word of God. Align yourself with God. You know God wants you to prosper. How many of you know that? Let me share something with you before we close about prosperity. You want to hear this? You know, Jesus himself was not poor. You hear that? Jesus was not poor. You know that the scripture people have misquoted a lot. That's 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that by his poverty he could make you rich. People say, well, by this scripture Jesus was poor. No. If you read this scripture in context, the poverty he's talking about is not even poverty of money. One. Two, he was talking about what happened on the cross. You get the point? He was on the cross. Go to like the previous verse, verse 8 or so. I'm not commanding you to do this, but I'm okay. Verse 9. He said, you know, generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, he was rich. Okay, verse 10. Here's my verse. It will be good for you to finish what you started. So go back to verse 9. So verse 8, he was talking about giving. Verse 9, he uses an example of Jesus. What was he talking about? What is he talking about here? How Jesus became poor. How he poured out himself and gave everything. So remember I said that on the first day, that the motivation for our giving is the giving that Jesus of God. Remember that? So God and his giving, his love, is both our motivation and our example. So Paul does the same thing here. Verse 8, he talks about that we should give. Verse 9, he cites Jesus as an example. How he became poor. How he poured out everything for us. You get the point? So it's not saying that Jesus was lacking money. But let me show you that Jesus never lacked money. I'll show you like 5 proofs. Amen? That the guy was not broke. One of the first proofs I like using is Matthew 2 verse 11. You know, some of you have read that. You grew up, you heard it when you were growing up, but you never thought about it. These 3 wise men, you know them? Wise men, you made 3. You know the Bible never said there were 3. You know, right? Are you hearing that for the first time? The Bible said there were 3. They brought 3 gifts. They were not 3. They could be 3, but they were just wise men. Now, what gift did they bring? Gold. Look at this. The Bible said they entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests. I like that word. And they gave him gifts of gold, practice and met. Do you know what the worth of gold? And so Jesus' parents, by the gift alone they received when they gave birth to him, they were rich. By that gift alone. I've seen gold in your life. It's not on your watch. I mean gold. But it was a gift. And I was studying this verse. I was using studying Bible history, you find out that the frankincense and myrrh were the same economical value like gold too in those days. So that's why they got it from their treasure chests. These are expensive gifts. And they gave to his parents. They wouldn't have raised him in penury. I don't get the point. And so the thought of the fact that Jesus was just a poor man who just did this world, so all should be poor. Don't think like that. Second reason why I believe that Jesus was rich is that Jesus had ministry partners. Luke chapter 8, from verse 1, 2, and 3. Bible says, soon afterward, Jesus began a tour of the nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news about the kingdom of God. He took his 12 disciples with him. Number 2, along with some women, he had healed and from whom he had cast out evil spirits. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's business manager. That was a wealthy woman. And many others who were contributing their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. So there were people that were giving money to Jesus. Do you get the point? So he was. Have you ever thought about how were they coping? Have you ever heard people? One man gathered 12 other men to live with him in the same house for 3 years. How were they eating? Have you fed people in your life? Have you ever fed people? Don't worry. You're soon born. Praise God. Another reason why I believe Jesus was free or was not lacking is John 13 verse 27. I mentioned this last week, but I'm going to show you John 13 verse 27. And the Bible tells us, when Judas had eaten the bread, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus told him, hurry and do what you are going to do. Now, none of the others at the table knew what Jesus meant. Since Judas was their treasurer. So first, Jesus had a treasurer. So the ministry had some money, at least. I don't get the point. Now, some thought Jesus was telling him to go and pay for the food or to give some money to the poor. So they thought Jesus was saying, in other words, it was in their culture to give. So Jesus was also giving to the poor. Do you get the point? You see why I go back to why I said, giving must not be broadcasted to everybody. Apart from this verse, now you don't have thought that Jesus gave to the poor because he was not going up and announcing that, saying, I'm sharing money to you just for you to know that I'm Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. You know, no. So that's what it was. Let's see another translation of this verse 29. Different translations, okay? So some thoughts. Okay, Bible says he had the money box. The money box. Hallelujah. They had the money box, the box. Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the festival, or that he should give something to the poor. That's what they thought, okay? Okay. Message the same thing. So actually the point is they thought that was, it means they've been practicing that. Get the point? So he had enough to give. You see, find also in John 12, verse 6, that Jesus, or Judas rather, was Jesus' treasurer. He says, not that he cared for the poor. You know what happened there? They broke a cost. This is even another serious point. They broke a perfume worth 1 year wage. Very expensive perfume. 1 year, I mean, your salary now is 80,000. You save it for 1 year and they use it to buy one perfume. That one's very expensive. Now that and they brought it just and broke it at his feet. That begins to tell you the kind of gift the guy was receiving. You get the point? And you know, it was in Romark, that was right, and Romark said that they broke it at his feet and he didn't move him. And that tells you that it wasn't, you know, there's a kind of money they give you. If you have never seen that kind of one before, you would adjust. But the way he reacted shows that, okay, well, it's what we have been receiving. So Judas got angry. So what kind of thing is this one? Money would have given to the poor. Praise God. Bible says not because he cared for the poor, but he was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole some. Don't be Judas. Hallelujah. But the point remains that they had some cash, amen, such that Judas was still stealing, and they were still giving to the poor, and also surviving. The Bible is so blunt. He stole some for himself. What a Judas. Now, one last thing I'm going to show you before I proceed is Luke 22, verse 35. Luke 22, verse 35. I like this place. You know, when Jesus... Let me say this to you. God wants you to prosper. Amen? So when you are giving, what I'm trying to show you is that when we are calling you to give, that's why I'm doing this. We are not trying to call you to give out everything you have and now become broke, and then in your brokenness, God will receive glory. No. Get the point? Jesus asked them, when I sent you out to preach the good news, you did not have money, a traveler's bag, or extra clothing. Did you need anything? They said no. So Jesus sent his disciples out without anything. And he asked them, did you lack anything where you went? They said no. So they went with nothing, yet they lacked nothing. So God can provide for us. That's God's plan. So the disciples lacked nothing. So it is God's will to provide. But God gives us wealth. 1 Timothy verse 17. Charge them. 1 Timothy 17. Charge them that are rich in this world. And they trust not in uncertain riches, but in living God, who gives us what? Richly all things to enjoy. So God gives us money for our enjoyment. Hallelujah. And so God is a giver. Now, why am I saying all this? When you are assured of the character of God, that Jesus wants us to prosper, God provides for us, when you now give, you take sides with him. You know that this guy that wants me to prosper, that has everything, cannot ask me to give and drag me to become poor. So if you became poor by giving, you had a good heart, okay? But then you ignore the part where you know that you have authority in the area of finances. You should have engaged it. How many of you know you call money to come? Praise God. You can give your money and say, Father, thank you for you a provider. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for this opportunity to give to the work of the ministry. Oh, I know that this week will be a blessing. I'm going to receive much more. My business is going to flourish. Oh, much more customers are coming this week. Thank you, Father. You are giving, but you're not keeping short. What's the implication? If you keep short, nothing is going to come to you. And that will not be God punishing you. That will not be anything happening. That will just be you receiving what you ordered for by silence. Hallelujah. What you ordered for by silence. Now, so God wants you to be rich. He prospers us, actually. In 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, look at it again. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, look at it again. Let's read together from the screen with New Living Translation. Are you ready? Okay, everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. No. You're not going to read like that. You're going to make it personal and declare it like it's the word of God. Don't say all you. I'm talking to you. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's go. And God will generously provide all I need. Then I will always have everything I need. And plenty left over to share with others. Hallelujah. I will always have all I need. And I will have what to give to. Glory to God. I have what I need. I have what to give. And even after I give, I have much more to give. I have all I need. So God's will is seen. So we take sides with him. So give, trusting that the Lord will never leave you stranded. Motivation for the giving is love. After you give, you take up a confession. I was telling about Brother Egg in the first day. He said, they will walk into a meeting and say, Father, today, this is what I'm going to receive from here. And it will just happen like that. God wants you to prosper. And God prospers you. And so all you have to do is to take sides with him. How God prospers us financially, of course, I've showed you have to work and all that. But how to get God involved in your work and in your business is by talking. Wake up every day and say some things about your finance. Amen? Say some things about your business. When you make that transfer, say, Father, thank you. In my note, I said, when you are making confession for giving, there are things you must include. Personally, when I make confession for giving, I include the purpose of the giving. I say things like, Father, thank you. And I'm giving this. Our first step, I say, Father, I'm giving this to the advancement of the work of God. Remember, I pray that every day when you give offering. Thank you, Father. I'm giving this for the advancement of the work of God, for the planning of Zoe. I'm giving this for this instrument we want to buy. And I thank him. The next thing that follows is that in my confession is thanksgiving. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to be a part of this. Regular point. For the privilege to be a part of this. Thank you. And then I declare my trust in him. I trust you that you won't leave me stranded. I trust you that you provide more for me. I trust that I will have more. And if I have strength, I can engage angels immediately. Angels of God, move and get whatsoever I need to me. Hallelujah. Everything I need. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 11. Let me close. With King James. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 11. Mama teka morateya. Zuleka da bashandia. When I was working on this, the Lord said to me, he said, a lot of people are giving, but he said, many people have not learned to involve God in their finance. Okay? Whenever it comes to finance, involve God. You do it by your mouth. Just talk. Say something. Declare something. 1 Chronicles 29 verse 11. Declare something. Declare something. What do you declare? Declare the word of God. Put up King James. Take sides with God. Just like in your health. You say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I can never be sick. That's what you do for your finance. That is where receiving financially comes in giving. It doesn't come because God is just giving you back. It comes because you are putting your faith in God's provision. And then, so you find out, why am I so sure that when I give, I will not lack? Two reasons. One, men are praying for me. Amen? Two, I trust God's provision. I like this verse. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 11. Thine, O Lord, it blessed me today, is the greatness and power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. I love this. So heaven is God's own. Earth is his own. Everything is his. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Verse 12. Both riches and honor come from you. This way blessed me. Both riches they come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might. In thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. It is in God's hand to make great. Get the point? I tell you guys, in Igbo, chukwu na-esi. Isn't that statement? Isn't it like you? God can lift men. It is in God's hand to make people great. I went over the scripture today. Both riches, probably like NLT, both riches and honor is from God. Wealth and honor comes from you alone. Hallelujah. I told somebody, I said, if nobody names the child this name before me in my family, then I'll give my child Uba Sinachi. I like that name. Uba. It is true. It dawned on me. See, wealth. So, and they say, I learned from hustling. Well, wealth and honor come from you alone. That's why when you say God is my source, you are declaring the word of God. Wealth and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and at your discretion, people are made great and given strength. The Lord will make you great. Hey, look unto Abraham your father, and to Sarah thy body. I called him alone, and I blessed him and increased him. Wealth and honor come from you alone. Wealth and honor. Silver and gold is thine. Wealth and honor come from you. And so this is my confidence when I give. What's your confidence? That my source is not my job. So why would somebody in Acts sell his house, remember, and his lands, and bring the whole money to the church? Is he not even thinking of how he's going to cope? No, now. The land is not the source. The job is not the source. The salary is not the source. And so you can be a giver and still not lack. The job is not the source. The salary is not the source. Are you getting me? It's not the source. And I'm saying this by the Spirit. Like someone listening to me this evening. Thank you, Father.
There's a door that closed.
What I mean is not, I'm not talking about spiritual door. There is someone that has been helping you financially that pulled out from your life recently. Oh, glory to God. And it's a case of compromise. You might need to compromise to get that person to keep helping you. But that guy, that girl, that woman is not your source. It's not your source. Wealth and honor come from you. What is your confidence that you can give everything you have and still not lack? Well, the one I even give came from him. So as I give, I'm going to get more. So is there a physical effect to your giving? Yes and no. It is no if you think that God is going to give you because you gave. You get the point? But then it is yes, because if you engage your faith, you can receive more. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So as the way is coming, some of you have not even given. As you're going to give, keep trusting the Lord that you will always provide for me. I serve a God who never leaves me stranded. I serve a God who always provides for me. I serve a God. And that's why some of you, you make your pledge. I was saying this last week. You make your pledge and then the money comes. And then you keep it or divert it because you're thinking, if I give this one, I'm sure another one will come. No. No, you make your pledge and the money comes. The God that brought this one will bring the next one. That's my confidence. And I keep saying it. I keep saying it. I want to teach you. I want to challenge you. Start practicing this small, small. You have a business, for instance. A business you're doing. Start the week setting financial targets. Father, this week, I trust you. I'm going to hit, start from what your faith can carry. I get the point? This week, by the jobs and whatever I'm going to get, contracts I'm going to get, this week, I receive this amount of money. 10,000 naira, 20,000 naira this week. Angels, go forth. Bring the customers. Bring everything that will make it happen. I decree that this week, I walk into this. Watch it. Say it throughout that week. You will see it come to you. Your words don't fail. Because your words spoken in faith are like the very words of Jesus. That's what they are. So this week I engage. And so that way, giving no longer scares you. I'm telling you, giving does not make anybody broke. If it made you broke, you didn't engage the faith of God. You didn't engage what is available to you. So they gave to Paul. Paul said, my God will provide. Do you know why he will pray that prayer? Because when his God provides for them, they will give more. So my God will provide for you. And so you can take Philippians 4:19. Anytime you give, you can pick up. They gave to Paul, right? In verse 18, he prayed. So pick up that verse 19. When you give, you say, my God will supply all my needs. Glory be to God who never leaves me stranded. Glory be to God who has wealth and who has honor. Glory be to God who makes men great. Who makes men great. Who lifts men up. Who never leaves us stranded. Who provides for me. Who always makes everything available for me. Glory be to God, my source. Glory be to God. And I put it on WhatsApp 2 days ago. Life should be lived by faith. And I tell you, under God, every big project I've ever done in my life, personal life and ministry, is by faith. Something totally by faith. He says, why? Because God always gives you things that are bigger than you, so that you can trust Him. If you have a project now and you feel it's bigger than you, it's from God. Hallelujah. So that you can trust Him. So that you can't just say, well, I can just go to my account and take it. No. So that you can trust Him. Hallelujah. You know, I'm on a project recently, currently. And, you know, I've made all my plans for the project. I even fixed some money in some investment, whatever. So when the time comes for the project, I could just go take it out from there and run it. But now it's here. Something has happened and then it's hanging. But I'm not moved. I get my, because I know that somehow that investment was never the source. I get the point. So I keep saying, this pulls through. It's done. I have all I need. and I will not borrow a dime for it. I will lend. I will lend. The same God will provide all I need. Wealth and honor is from God. Wealth and honor is from God. Let this dawn on you. I mean, even as you are job hunting, looking for the bigger job, keep it to your head. You see, wealth and honor is from God. I don't care what anybody believes. He said, what of Bill Gates? Does he have God? The Bible said they may not have God, but there are other things they have that you don't know. Some of these guys use strong diabolic powers. Hope you know. Some of these guys practice sorcery. I'm not saying anybody. I'm not saying anybody's name. Some of these guys, you know, they engage some strong things. And if they don't do anything, the Bible said that wealth and honor, it is God that blesses men. As I pray to the God who blesses men, I pray to the God who makes men great. I pray to the God who honors men. I pray to the God who never gives me stranded. As I cannot give to him and call for things and it will not come. So I'm not scared of giving. Why do I give? I love God. Why do I give? I love the work. What is my confidence after giving? That he will not keep me stranded. Stand to your feet. Just talk in the Holy Ghost wherever you are. Shabaleya gabarotiyadish. Wealth and honor is from him. Wealth and honor is from him. Wealth and honor is from him. Wealth and honor. Shamanela. Shamanela bakoma rada. Wealth and honor is from him. Oh, I will always have and have more to give. I will always have maroto maka. Hey, alo shimaniana roko lava sohania. Ila prone, e prone te yaka. I will always have a more. I'll show you a screen to pray with. Look up the screen. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8. You're going to take that scripture again. We're going to do it. We're going to declare it personally 3 times with New Living Translation. 3 times. Are you ready? And you personalize it. Woo! Glory to God. Glory. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, go. And God will generously provide all I need. Then I will always have everything I need and plenty left over to share with others. Let's do it again. And God generously provide all I need. Then I will always have everything I need and plenty left over to share with others. For the last time, God will generously provide all I need. Then I will always have everything I need and plenty left over to share with others. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Begin to take your authority in the area of finances. If you leave the devil, he will never stop. You allow him to mess with your finance, he will never stop. He won't. So in the name of Jesus, I receive this. Oh, Yabale Gash. I receive this. This job pays me this before the end of next week. Set some targets. Between now and the end of Zoe, I receive this. You want to give towards the program as you are giving. Say, but I give and I'm confident and I lack no good thing that you will provide what I need. I am confident that this week angels are going to work for me. I am confident that this week provision is mine. I am confident that this week my hands will never lack. Just pray. Shamalada, I give you 3 to 5 minutes to pray. Make some declarations. You have authority even in the area of finances. Use it. Use that authority. You can begin to speak in English right now. I begin to make declarations. Make declarations. Speak words. I have what I need. I lay hold of this. I can never be stranded. I have much more. I am a giver.
and I lack not. I am a giver and I lack not. God supplies all I need. Jamalia Dagoza. Just pray. If you're following this online, just pray. Anywhere you are following, just pray. If you're listening to this message, just pray. Take this time and begin to lay hold. I feel a strong anointing of God moving towards provision, moving towards meeting needs. I sense that strong anointing of the Holy Ghost all over this place. All over this place, providing needs. Lack is gone. Just pray. I stand in my position as your father, as your pastor, and I bless your finances. Oh, Yabarate Lagadash. The last money you gave will be the least you will ever give. You will have much more to give, much more left over. There is provision made available for you. I bless those hands. My God, we supply all your needs, not according to your bank account, not according to your salary, according to his riches in glory. According to his riches in glory. Just take your time and pray the Holy Ghost. Pray with those words. You were disappointed. It was never your hope. It was never your source. I trust God. I judge God faithful. He never fails. I trust God. So many like a man and robale, I know she had a coman and a lababo sodia. Yes, Lord. Woo! Listen, before we close, listen. This is where you don't get scared for mention giving. Don't get scared, because anything you release is actually because you're bigger than it. You get the point? So you can hold on and say, Father, thank you. I don't ever give without thanking God for the privilege of giving. I see it as a privilege that I can give to the work of God. I don't know about you, but it's a privilege for me. It's a lot that I can give to the work of God. So, Father, thank you for the privilege of giving. Thank you. And I know you will not give me mischanted. I trust you. And when another opportunity arises, I am going to give much more. Why? Because I know I can never go down. I will never go down. How many of you trust God's faithfulness? Sarah judged God faithful. As I judge you faithful. I judge God faithful. Oh, Father, just give me praise. Come on, give me praise. So, Lord, I judge you faithful. Thank you for your faithfulness. In the area of provision, thank you. Oh, glory to God. We're going to give God praise in this place. So, let's pray first. Let's bless him. Just bless him. I want to hear you lift your voice. Let's bless him.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.